Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, family. Good morning. It has been a rough one. I truly apologize. So I'm fucking around in England, and I had to go to Hayford. That was my second duty station in the Air Force. So I went down there. It's only 60-something miles away, and I'm like, yo, I'll have plenty of time. Save plenty of time on the M4. Easy, breezy. I mean, I'm out there getting it. I'm getting it. Got into London, yeah, that was a wrap. This shit is ridiculous. And in all honesty, I didn't remember. I did not remember why we took the tube into London more often than we drove. Now, I remember because this shit is ridiculous. we were able, look, no, seriously, yo, it took me 30 minutes.
Are you all right, though?
Yeah, it took me 30 minutes to go 3 miles.
Oh,
but it took me 30 minutes to go 3 miles. 30 minutes to go 3 miles. That was ridiculous. Ridiculous. Parking, just whatever. It is what it is. The sun is out, which is a blower. It hasn't rained. It didn't rain at all yesterday. It hasn't rained at all today yet. This shit is like I'm in the twilight zone. I do not remember two consecutive days with this type of weather, and it's hot. I mean hot out here. And hot is like a strong 78, 82 degrees. That's hot in England, you know, and it's a strong 78, 82 degrees out there. It's hot. But at night it got cool again, so like I bought my jacket with me, and I did that. The purposes of knowing that either it was going to rain or get cool in the evening. I mean, it was hella cool last night. Hella cool. It felt like it was in the 50s, if not the 60s, but it was cool last night. But so a couple of shout outs. First off, shouts out to Mayo. That's my man. Last minute, he calls me. He says, yo, when you going to London? I said, yo, I'm going Thursday. He said, yo, I'm going with you. I said, all right. He said, yeah, man, I'm going over to see the kids, and I've been playing with it. I don't know. I didn't know exactly when I'm going to go, but I'm going to go. I'm going to go when you go. So let's just link up. So here I am in London versus being in either Reading or Swindon, which was my original plan to do the hangouts. But it's cool. You know, he hooked me up with the sweet-ass room at the Moxie. You know, free advertising for them. If you're ever in London and you need a place to stay, the Moxie is definitely it. Yo, they got this ironing board? That shit ain't no joke. And I know I'm super excited over iron and ironing board, right?
This joint,
this joint ain't no joke at all.
The Moxie.
And, like, they don't have, yeah, they don't have an iron and ironing board in every room. It's, like, one room on each floor is for your ironing. This freaking iron is like an industrial strength, miggity, flickity, wickety. Yeah, I need to find that. I need that in my life. This thing put creases in my shirt like I had starched it, and I put near bit of starch on it. It was off the hook. It's off the hook, without a doubt, without a doubt. I got the rental whip. I'm mucking around in the rental whip. Tires all fucked up. But I ain't hit none of nobody. Yo. You know, driving back on the left side of the road is weird. It feels weird. But at the same time, it feels natural. You know, it was like getting back in the car, shifting with my left hand was like, I never lost it. It was just like riding a bike.
Brother, I foresee a time when the driver's seat will be in the middle and we'll be able to take on two more passengers in the front.
I don't disagree with that at all. I don't disagree with that at all. But yeah, I think my cousin's on. Pretty sure my cousin's on. Cuz, I'm gonna get with you in a second. Hit the number one. That way I know it's you and you want to talk on your phone. I'm gonna get through this other stuff, and you know, then we'll get to the topic of sex because it all really rolls into one another. So you know, I went to Hayford. I cried. I didn't cry like I thought I was going to cry, though, but I did cry. And I cried getting out the car. Like I bitched up getting out the car. Was like, oh, yeah, this is real. Because I parked, and this guy came behind me, and he has this signage on his SUV saying, you know, Bister Hayford Veterans Association. So I'm like, oh, shit, let me get with this cat. So I'm talking to him, and he's actually British. So he's doing a support system for the British veterans and trying to school them to their benefits, the same struggles we have in America with getting veterans to understand their benefits and all that type jazz. So, yeah, got him on, and we chalked it up a bit, and that was really cool. But as I'm leaving him, I broke down and started crying. Like, he was like, well, what did you come over for? And I was like, I just got to see it. I gotta see it. There's no way that I can be here and not see this place that has played such a critical part in my life. I can't do that. I can't do that. So I did a walk around. And Rashi, I know you're not familiar, but I want to talk to the people that are. Like, Carter's gone. The Carter was a dormitory that was huge, and we called it the Carter because it was like run down and it looked like Nino Brownish, so we called it the Carter. And that's where the security police were building it at. And that's gone. The club is gone. The only thing that's really left on that side is finance, where the finance office was. That's still left. And they're actually adding on to that. So it looks like they're going to use the facade of it, and they gutted out the remainder of it. And that's cool. And then it looks like they're going to use the facade of the food court too, because that's still standing, but everything behind that has been gutted. Base housing is still there, which was like emotional, because I know people that used to live in base housing, you know what I'm saying? The post office is gone. My squadron is still there. That was hot. My squadron headquarters is still there, and the headquarters for the base is still there. That's still being utilized, actually. I took some other pictures. I'll post them up on the Facebook page. I'm going to put them on Instagram and all that type of stuff. But I think the thing that prevented me from crying as much as I thought I was going to cry was it didn't feel the same because so much stuff was gone. It wasn't. I didn't feel that connection. You know what I'm saying? I think if more stuff was there, I would have really balled out. But yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy as hell. You know, that was really the reason for the trip for me.
Good. Please post them pictures, not just of the base, but you having fun. You in a whole other country. You know, you chilling at the Moxie Lounge. Make sure you post.
Yeah, but that was hot, man. That was you know, I spent a number of my formative years here, and to leave here, to come here as a young man and leave here as an adult, that's a huge switch. And you know, the UK has changed a lot, but there were things I remembered, like when I came from. Big shout out to Sam. I stayed at Samantha's house last night, and she and I were in Swindon. She was partying, I was just chilling, just watching the people tripping out like, damn, this shit hasn't changed. These motherfuckers played the theme song to The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and people hopped on the floor and lost their minds. Like, that was the hottest song ever. But, so I left our house, and I'm driving back to Hayford, and I'm following the signs, and when I got to the road that I remembered, I was like, I know where I'm at. It's, you know, I get to the end of the road, there's a traffic light, and I need to make the left. Once I make that left, I go up to the end of the road again. I make another left, and that's Hayford. That's it. And I did. I got up to the road. I saw the light. I was like, oh, that's the traffic light. Made that left. Got down to the end of the road again. Hit the roundabout. I was like, oh, just stay to the left. And I was home. I'm telling you, I don't forget how to get home. As often as our asses was drunk. You need to remember shit like that, you know what I'm saying? So I fly out tomorrow to go to Germany. I'll spend a couple of days over on the main continent, and then I'll come back. And when I come back, I'll tip down to Oxford, and I'll really spend the day in Oxford just tipping around down there on Friday, and then I fly back home on Saturday. So, you know, it is what it is. It be what it be. But, yeah, I'm happy. I'm definitely happy. This was already it was worth it. And I'm looking forward to be even better, to be real.
But sounds fantastic.
So I'm out last night, and again I'm watching the people and I'm watching the people move. One of the things I realized and recognized was since I stopped drinking, a whole lot of shit is different. You know, and just watching the club scene and how people were just, hey, fancy free, footloose and fancy free, it was just like, wow. But okay, the Footloose and Fancy Free, I was like, wow, and stuff, and Sam was like, yo, I think she likes you, I'm like, no, I'm not here for that, you know what I'm saying, I'm cooling out, I'm enjoying time in country, I'm just having a good one, you know, and so, you know, a little later, another chick comes by, Sam's like, no, Sam, I'm good. You know, Sam's boyfriend was there with us last night. It was very good vibe, very good vibe. You know, she and I sat back and talked a lot. I haven't seen her since San Antonio, so that's been a minute. And we just did some catching up and stuff. And, you know, a lot of things that we didn't know about one another. Cause, I mean, we've known one another. Well, I shouldn't say that. We've known of one another, I should say, since, you know, 1992. We just started really getting to know one another last night, you know what I'm saying? But that's a huge difference between being an American and being here. Those friendships, even though it wasn't hot, heavy, highly nurtured, there's never been any sex between she and I. She still was like, yo, if you're coming over, you can stay at my house. Like, who does that? Who does that? And that's the shit that you find when you come back to Europe and when you step out of the country and you do some things different. So
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Right.
When you travel, and it takes a little getting used to, you know, when I travel to Africa, the idea of service, what people are paid or willing to do for you, always amazes me when you go to other countries. Because here, you got to get up, be bootstrappers, I guess. Get up and get your own dang on food and all that good stuff. But other countries, from the service, the way the business is conducted, to what people mm-hmm. allow in their own homes, it's not easy to get into an American home. You got to know somebody
right.
or be in an emergency yeah. situation or be a part of a party. But you can't just be
yeah.
welcome. And there are some countries
right.
where they, you know, the door is actually open. They want you
right.
to walk in. There's a water
right.
bucket right.
right
there where they want you to wash your hands and all that. So I'm so glad you're getting, man, the travel, it just grows the spirit. It grows people. It turns you into the man, a man that you're supposed to be, the global citizen.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking
easy.
About.
Wait a minute.
She and
I
got
to ask you one thing.
Go ahead.
Hold on before you go into what have you eaten so far in London that you would like to bring back with you? Because most people say London fare is not that, you know, exciting. So have you been adventurous at all?
No. No. First off, it's too hot, so I don't eat a lot when it's hot. So not at all. So I did a kebab, which was like high on my list, and it wasn't the greatest. Again, things have changed since I don't drink anymore. That used to be a staple. Like at night after the club, shit, you going to get a potato, a fully loaded potato, or you're going to get a kebab. One of the two, you need something to absorb that alcohol, and that was the greatest taste of shit in the world. The one I had last night was not that good. But I was hungry, but I wasn't really hungry. So, you know, that wasn't real heavy on my chest.
Mm.
Okay. But other than that, tonight would be the night, without a doubt. Mayo's here. Okay. And actually, we're neighbors. He's in the room next door to me, just so happened. So I hit him before I logged in and was like, yo, look, I'm about to do the show. After the show, I'm going to come holler at you so we can go out and get something to eat and do whatever, whatever. So he's like, cool. I need to go back to Piccadilly, not the circus. I'm going to go back to Hyde Park and all that type of stuff. So, yeah, I'll get out and get a little bit of interest today. But for the most part, yeah, no, not really. Because, again, I've not really been that hungry. Now, horny, different story. Because, oh, my God. It's some fine ass motherfucking women on this motherfucker. It's some fine ass motherfucking women on this motherfucker. Good Lord. Lord. Yeah. Just all the walking makes the calves tight, makes the glutes tight, makes the thighs tight. Just titties bouncing all over the place. Oh my goodness. The mixture of black and white is, high fashion. Women in London know how to dress. They know how to dress. I saw this woman. I was coming the road. I saw this woman beside the street. I was like, wow. Wow. She looked like she just walked off of a photo shoot. And she was just everyday walking. And I know she was just everyday walking because I saw 10 other people that looked just like her. You know what I'm saying? It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Just wow. Wow. And the approach to the other sex is different. It's in your face. It's not a lot of, it's like, yo, like you, what's up? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I like your stilo. I like your stilo. I like the way you came off at it. So yeah, it's definitely different, and much appreciated, by the way, from my side of the fence. So yeah, but Sam and I got to talking because she has had some life experience with sex and has been noted for how good her life experience with sex is. So that was a point of interest as we spoke last night, you know. And she was like, yo, why did you never try to get with me? And I was like, because that just wasn't my thing. Like, I was on a totally different plane. I actually found a young lady here not too long after I got here who was from the Bahamas. She and I got together, and I was pretty good after that, you know. And that was it. I didn't need to bounce around, you know, too much. But I was still young. Come on. I'm not saying I was an angel by any stretch of the fucking imagination, but I wasn't foolish either. So, because I wasn't going to mess up a good thing for a short-term thing. That wasn't going to happen. But the reason for the topic for this week, if you will, was with me coming here, that just rushed back all those memories. And this was a place of exploration for me sexually. No crazy shit. Just the fact that this was the first time I ever had sex with a white woman. First time I ever had sex with an African woman. I mean, straight from Africa. You know, not African American, not African Caribbean, just straight from Africa. A woman from German descent. Who else? I'm trying to think. Shit. It was different. You know, I got a smorgasbord over here. It was like, wow. You know, so I'm coming back to this. I posted on IG, and I think I shared it on Facebook. Like, yo, I'm a little bit nervous coming over. And my man was like, what the hell are you nervous about? I was like, shit, I'm nervous. I'm going to come back with some more damn kids. Like, shit, dog, I was a little wide open. You know what I'm saying? Not only that, shit, much drinking as I did, I don't remember all that shit. You know, I'm tipping around very gingerly, like, yeah, I might not want to go in that town. Seriously.
Be to see Levon, you be to found Trey out there somewhere.
The four. Right? You know, the four. That little
you my dad.
That little
I've been looking for you. He goes,
I've been looking for you. You, my mother said, you my fall over. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, but, you know, at the same time, though, I didn't know how I was going to behave when I got to the spot. So, you know, that all evened out. And I was quite happy about that. You know what I'm saying? And again, so far, it's been a great trip. You know, I invited my cousin on, and he was doing some things with his little one, but I'm going to get him up soon because I know that he has a life too, and I don't want to hold him forever, but I do want to get him in. Hey, Cuzzo, come on in when you're free. Come on, okay. I got you up now. You can talk. So say something. There you go, my fam. Okay, I can't hear you. You still got me on mute? All right, whenever you're ready to say something, just say something, and I'll hear you. Hold on.
Any friend, any family and friend that leaves is a friend of ours. Don't be shy.
Oh, Lord.
Well, I can understand why he would be. I mean, the topic's not exactly something you get to talk about openly. So when you start discussing sexual matters, it's important to hold back and make sure, because you don't want to say something, you know.
Okay. I we got him now. What's up, man?
What's up, Jordan?
I'm good. What's going on? Hey, man. So, you know, you post a thing or two every now and again that's sexually provocative, so I wanted to bring you up to talk about
more like
how
10
is
times
sex
a week. I ain't got no
fix. Well, yeah. Yeah, you know. Yeah, well, you know. How, as you've grown older, how has sex changed to you?
Changed to me? Well, look, like when we was younger and we was coming up, it was all about trying to up your body count or impress the homeboys and, you know what I mean, things like that. And, you know what I mean, we used to have L times. We went down to Harb every week. That was, you know what I mean, that was L chasing mission, I guess you could call it. But as you get older, it ain't about the quantity, it's about the quality. Like when I got married, none of y'all thought that I would be the one to get married. But I wouldn't have it any other way. And I have, like, honestly, no desire to even go outside of my marriage. You feel me? Once I found that right one, it was like everything changed. And you remember how I was.
Had
that one. Exactly. So for you to find that, for me to find that one,
How you doing, brother? I didn't get properly introduced. My name is Rashid.
Apparently,
Lee was raised by wolves. But, brother, I got a question for you. Because I've been married twice. And my first husband was a devout whore. But my second husband was just, emotionally negligent. So talk to me. What changed? What changed? You said everything, but give me an idea. Because the women haven't gotten less attractive. And, what did your affection for your wife do for you?
Well, actually, I'm actually on marriage number two myself. The first one was what I would refer to as a really big mistake. I was in a bad place, and I jumped into something that I wasn't ready for. My current wife has always been by my side for 20-plus years, even while I was making certain mistakes. She's always been there. The best way I can describe it is men change when they find that woman that completes them. Until the man finds that, it doesn't matter what a woman brings to the table, to be honest with you. He has to see something in her. I had seen this meme on Facebook, and it was like women have sex with who they want and men have sex with who they can. And the second part of it was, men marry who they want and women marry who they can. Now, I kind of think that's accurate on both fronts. Like, and another thing I seen was like, why do men not marry their baby mother? Because they be feeling like they trapped, and they'll go to a woman who they don't have a kid by. I felt completely different from that. Like, I didn't want to. Once I got out of that first mistake that I told you about, I knew who I wanted to be with, and it just so happens that we have kids. We have four beautiful kids together. I didn't want to have someone else raising my kids when I was essentially in love with this woman. So I had to grow up. And to be honest with you, I'm still growing. Because you know me, because I was in the streets a long time. Now I'm on a working tip and all that. Everything requires change. But like I say, the man is not going to change until he finds that woman that's worthy of him to change for. It ain't about sex. In that aspect, it's not about sex. You can have the best sex in the world with a chick, but if she ain't your one, she ain't your one. I mean, it's going to be fun while you in it, but as soon as that one come by, and the sex may not be as good as that one who was pretty much slutting you out. Mm-hmm. But it's more toward it. That's when your emotions come into play. That's when you try to get your head around responsibilities and being an adult and all that. All of that comes into the march.
Rashi, let me add some icing to this cake that my cousins. But first off, Ernest.
Pleasure to meet you.
And then we're gonna bring our guest on. Then we're gonna bring our guest on because she's actually on. She snuck in on me. She used a different phone number, so I was looking for one thing. She brought another thing. So when we were in high school, we're on the bus, and cuz said, "Yo, cuz, check this out." I said, "What?" He said, "Man, read this letter." This girl said, "I don't understand why I still deal with you. She said, "I think the only emotion you have is when you come," and I died. We in the back of the bus dying. I was like, "Yo, what? That's it?" And he was like, "Yeah, pretty much." Oh my God, dog. Yo, you gotta stop treating me, dog. He's like, "Yo, It is what it is.
And that's what it was.
And I have never forgotten that letter. I have never forgotten that line. And it's been almost 30 years since she wrote that thing. And every now and again I'll think about it and still chuckle like, yo, you were crazy. He's like, yeah, I was. I was. I absolutely was. But now I'm found. So, you know.
They have a term, brother, for such behavior. They're called collectors, sexual collectors. And what they do is they build their persona and they build their self-esteem upon conquest. And the more they get in there, the better of a person, the more they like themselves as an individual. And so what I'm asking is, what was it about your wife that curbed your collector behavior of nothing else?
Cuz, that's to you.
Brother Ernest.
Okay. What did he do? He's still here. He might have put us on mute again. Okay. While he has us on pause, and Ernest, give me a second. Just let me know when you come back. I'm a welcoming Sister Jackie. Queen Jackie, good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great, and thank you for having me on as a guest. I appreciate it.
You're very much welcome. You're very much welcome. So you walked into it from the onslaught. I wanted to bring you on because we met at a Black Wall Street event. And I'm always plugging Black Wall Street. Y'all know how I do. So I hadn't had the opportunity to do anything with you. So I wanted to take this one to bring you on because this is right along your wheelhouse, along with the show that you do and the outreach that you do. So I'm going to step aside and allow you to introduce yourself and tell the people what you do and how you do it.
All right. Well, thank you for that. So I am Queen Jackie, and I have a show called The Intimacy Chronicles. The reason I decided to do a show like that, because I feel like a lot of us are missing that deep connection with our partners. So I wanted to educate on how to have a better sexual experience through intimacy. What I find is when I say intimacy, a lot of people automatically think sex, but it's so much deeper than that. And if we're just thinking sex, then we're not getting that full experience that we should get from sex. It was interesting to listen to Brother Ernest. I think that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, when men are sexually active with a woman, and after that orgasm, and you might be fulfilled, but sometimes you're still looking for more, or your sexual energy has been depleted. I think a lot of times that's because we're not getting that full connection with the other person, so that you can have an amazing sexual experience and your energy not be depleted. Because it's levels to it. I think that we chase the instant gratification for the moment instead of the deeper connection. Now, don't get me wrong. I love an orgasm, and sometimes I'm just not for the whole shebang. I just want to, as the guys would say, I hit it and quit. But sometimes I want that. I want the full package. So for me, what the full package represents is, like, I've been married for 27 years. And 10 years ago, my marriage was at a stalemate. Like, I just couldn't find my happy in it. But it wasn't just him. I had to kind of soul search myself and what I'm looking for. Because when I got married at 25, my needs were different than they are now. So I had to kind of like reinvent myself in the marriage, but not just me. I had to bring it to his attention that I'm not fulfilled. And of course, him being a guy thinking, what are you saying, I'm not sexually satisfying you? But it wasn't that.
Right.
I needed more. I needed more than just that, you know. What I introduced into the relationship was meditation, meditation before the sex. And people always look at me crazy when I say that, but I started exploring other options for us to be able to connect, not just sexually, but on a mental level. So I started practicing Tantra. The beauty of Tantra is it brings something different to the relationship. It is a shared spiritual connection with your partner. In order for us to have that, it definitely takes the orgasm to a different level. And so a lot of times we meditate before sex. And during that meditation, we are just kind of, we're staring into each other's eyes. We're breathing each other in. We're softly caressing one another. And I can tell you, midway through that meditation, I'm horny as hell and ready to get started. But we've locked into one another. And I think that a lot of times when, like for women, a lot of times it takes us, men come to the bedroom ready. I think sometimes mentally for women, it takes us a few minutes to get there.
Isn't that what foreplay is for though?
Like, foreplay is great, but the routine itself, like in our relationship, our routine was the same. So I grew bored of that. Yes.
Queen Jackie, would you say that it takes even a minute to get ready for foreplay? If it's not a, what Queen Jackie might be saying is foreplay is what happens all the other time when you're not having sex. Foreplay is the mental connection that you have with your partner where you're able to invoke intimacy from them all without touch, with just speech or even a glance, because you're already on each other's mental wavelength. You're already speaking each other's language. So it's not foreplay is not the prelude to sex per se. Foreplay is everything that happens before you're actually in the actual act of sex. And then everything after that sex until you have sex again is
like
foreplay.
Four tries.
Right. It's like when you are completely intimate with someone, you are actually trusting them enough to be naked. And I think a lot of times we are not fully naked with one another. But for me, the biggest turn on is being touched. Not in a sense where, let's say my husband decides to give me a massage. That's to me the biggest foreplay. Because we're touching each other in such a loving, caressing way that once we are physically intimate with one another, I'm already to that level where I'm ready to explode.
I think
when we just go into, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Please finish, but I have some comments.
Okay. I think that when we start thinking, like she mentioned, oral, like foreplay, I think when we think of foreplay, a lot of times we're just thinking, oral sex. It's bigger than that, you know. And I'm not saying that that's something you're going to do all the time, because sometimes you might not have the time. You just want that instant gratification for that moment.
Right,
exactly. Because I have moments like that. Listen, I ain't with all that extra. I need to be broken off right now because I've got some stuff I'm dealing with and I need to release that. Boom.
Break me off.
Indeed.
Break me off.
I mean, you know, yeah, I just I just want a quickie. Let's just get this done. We can do the big shit later, but let's just get this quickie in.
Why it gotta be a quickie?
So,
why can't it, you know?
Well, it don't have to be a quickie. What I'm saying is I might not have time for that full shebang. You know, I just might want a little something for right now just to hold me over for the grand finale.
Hold over. Okay. All right. Can I get in?
Sure. Yes, Brother Ernie.
Can I get in now? No, this is Lee.
Yeah.
Can I get in now?
That was Lee. That wasn't me.
Yes, Lee, by all means.
Hold on. Now, see, hold on. See, what y'all don't understand is now my cousin makes fun of me and shit because I've gotten a little bigger in my years. We used to look
fat
alike.
Slim.
We were like the same. Yeah, we were like the same frame. I mean, we were the same complexion, about the same height. But when I was slimmer, we used to look alike. And a lot of people used to get us confused. So when you said,
and you remember
when you said
go on the basketball court and they'd be like, it's two of them.
No, that's real talk. Like, we used to look so much alike. It was scary, you know. But now I got my little Buddha, gut, and he's still skinny. So I don't know how the hell he do it. But
why can't I be
a little Buddha?
Why I gotta be skinny?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, saying, okay, whatever. But anyhow, so we're talking about foreplay, the lack thereof, and or adding on to it. So me snatching you by the weave and just, you know, whispering some shit in your ear, that's not good.
No,
I like that.
Wait,
too now.
Up,
let me just say, I like that too.
Can I interject?
Yes, please.
Foreplay is different to everybody.
There you go.
Right?
Mm-hmm. There
you might have, okay, it's definitely different towards the man and the woman aspect. Like you see, I personally, I don't like quickies. If you come to the table, I want the whole meal. That means give me a little appetizer, the entree, dessert, give me a little cup of coffee after that. I need all mine. You know what I'm saying? Whereas though, you got a female that might be like, okay, come on, hit this real quick. I need to get up out of here. Now, as men, we're going to do it because it's very rare that a man's going to turn down some ass. But at the same time, you might be like, man, she want a little 5-10 minute thing. Nah, but that ain't necessarily where your head at. You really might be trying to get in tune. And let me touch on this. It's not all right. Foreplay is not just about oral sex. Like one lady said, that she meditates with her husband. I think the person, that's a beautiful thing. But at the same time, you have to know what your partner likes. Like you may have someone that likes to get kissed behind the ear. Me personally, I like for you to kiss on my stomach a little bit before you go down a little lower. Everybody has their own thing. But once you can get it in tune, and y'all, that's when the explosion come in. Now, here's another thing that I personally believe, and this is completely off, slightly off topic, but hotel sex is way better than in-the-house sex.
You got
to
change it up.
Right, you can take your
blinds
off.
You can't be in the bedroom all the time.
All up.
Sometimes you got to fuck.
I agree.
Sometimes you got to fuck on the staircase. You know what I'm saying? You got to look at them stairs every now and again and be like, ooh, we nasty.
Right.
You do have to change it up. You know, you can't just have the same humdrum routine. I like to role play. So I might come in the bedroom as Tina Turner. You just never know. You know, but it took years of us being together to figure out what we like.
Right, you have to
hold
be
on,
comfortable
slow down,
with
slow
your
down,
partner.
Slow down. I need a pen so I can take some notes. Keep going. I'm trying to. Go ahead.
She said she was going to put that Proud Mary on his ass.
And that's what I do a lot of times because that's actually one of my favorite characters. But I have so many costumes and things that I dress up in. You know, sometimes I'll go for a ride around the block, you know, and I like because I know he's on his way home. So by the time he comes in, I'm walking in the door with a trench coat, of course, and my costume underneath, you know. And he gets so excited about that because he always says, I never know what woman I'm coming home to.
That's a wonderful thing. That's beautiful.
That's nice.
That is beautiful.
But it took us
a while
to get to that point, though. You know, I got bored and was like, listen, we need to revamp some things because this isn't working. And I need for both of us to have an amazing experience. So we kind of had to learn each other all over again, because a lot of times you get complacent in these relationships and you're not willing to try different things. I'm fortunate that he was open-minded enough to listen and want to try.
That's good, because then you're exactly right. I've encountered that in my own marriage. It's like you have to get to a certain point. If things get stagnant when you're with someone for X amount of time. The longer you're with someone, the more work you have to put in to keep things exciting.
Exactly.
You don't just, like you say, you just don't want that, okay, we're going to go in the bed, we're going to take your clothes off, do whatever. No, it need to be more to it than that.
Right.
So am I the only mother?
You know,
Am I the only motherfucker that like to get choked? I'm just trying to understand. When we going to get to this shit?
Let me tell you something. That's a turn on.
I'm with all that.
You know what, Lee?
You can choke
you
me.
Know how
to
turn
you
up the fire, don't you, Lee? I want to talk to you guys. I want to talk to you all about what I told Lee last week. I'll be taking notes myself, because it's been about 5 years since I had intercourse.
It's cobweb.
I was going to say the same thing, because there might be a cobweb or two on that thing.
No,
you might need to dust that off.
Let me ask a question. Since it's been five years.
She don't matter.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
What I was trying to tell you is that stagnation, the idea that you've had all the best sex you're going to have, and that you're not, and that whatever sex, you know, almost like chasing the high that you've already had from back in the day,
mm-hmm.
that it exists mm-hmm. beyond the bounds of matrimony. It exists beyond marriage. It exists in a single woman's life when she has to think of all the accessory behavior that goes with getting any type of intimacy out here, and what would have to happen from, you know, right now, I don't think it's safe to just have sex, you know. You have to go, the third date or fourth date needs to be at the clinic, you know. And people are just, I feel like by the time, it's a lot that goes into sharing your body. I think people are doing it, they're doing it haphazardly, and they're not understanding that you don't just have sex. You share your whole spirit with another person when you let them inside you, or and all that other stuff. So, I guess I think I've put too much on the idea, and it made me unwilling to just go into it haphazardly. You understand?
I'm sorry. So you said all that, trying to avoid the damn question. Why is you not masturbating? That's what the hell we wants to know.
I'm almost like earnest in that effect. It's like masturbation is like eating, you know, British food instead of soul food. It's like touching. Anyway, I never did. I was never a masturbator. It's never been my thing. I've always much more preferred the intimacy of another person succumbing to what I'm doing to them.
Wait a minute. But
can we all agree that if
you masturbate with your partner, that's a form of foreplay in itself, and it can be quite exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's no worries, but there's no person. I wanted to tell you that you don't just get stagnant in a relationship. You get stagnant single, looking at your options as a single person and just saying, never mind. You know, never mind on that.
And so getting back to the masturbation, I have to be honest. At a young age, I think I just always was, maybe some may say obsessed, you know, with sex. So at a young age, I was watching porn. At a young age, I was masturbating. So I think for me, and even
preach.
I'm married and I still masturbate, because it
me
is,
too.
I always look at it like a spiritual connection with myself. I know how to get me to the next level, so I can help my
partner
in taking
right.
me to the next level. I know my body. And I think a lot of times as women especially, we are afraid and ashamed to get to know ourselves, because masturbation has had such an ugly stigma. But what's wrong with loving up on yourself?
Ain't nothing wrong with
I
it.
I love
and it's one of the And it's one of the sexiest things in the world. Because I can, you know me, I can relate. Ain't nothing wrong with relating to yourself.
Exactly.
I absolutely love myself. I love myself often.
I personally find it boring.
You're stupid.
Do you find it boring because you are unable to let your mind go to experience it
on a different
level?
Let me let you know. Not only do I let my mind go, but I go so far I forget I'm masturbating and craft a whole screenplay and write a novel. It's just the actual act is just kind of boring. I mean, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that it sounds like I've belittled it or I'm making it reductionist, but ultimately, the back and forth, the energy that goes back and forth from people who have two or more persons who actually have affection for each other, it's 5-10 times that I would receive from myself. And it's kind of like once you do crystal meth, you don't want to smoke no bunk-ass weed. You know what I'm saying? It's once you've gone all the way there, you don't want a bastardized substitution. And that's what I feel like it is, even with all the bells and whistles and toys and lubes and whips and chains and mirrors and disco music, it's still kind of boring. But necessary to me in men. I think men absolutely should masturbate. It keeps society safe.
I agree.
Relieving that tension and that stress.
Yeah, check this out, cuz. Let's say you had a real rough day at work. I mean, everything that you could possibly think of went wrong. On the same side of that, your spouse had a rough day at work. So y'all come home, you trying to relieve that stress, but your spouse head is in a completely different area, whereas though they don't have that in their mind. But you know you need to get one off. So you got to take care of that on yourself, and that may actually make things better.
That might save your
in the household.
Yeah, right. That might save your marriage.
You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, it's a lot of different aspects, and everything just depending on how you look at it. And it's not just a man-woman thing. It's the status of the relationship. It's a lot of things that go along with it. Masturbation is not for everybody, clearly. I've encountered several people that don't do it, don't enjoy it, whatever the case may be. And I'd be looking at them like,
right.
Why? That's you. How you not loving you? Like you say, how you not loving you? I had a cousin. And he when he was married, his wife, I don't know if I'm not going to call her insecure. That's not my place. But she told him essentially, you can't masturbate. So when he tells me that, I'm like, right. I'm like, you know the dude, cuz. You know him. I'm not going to put him out there, but his name begins with an S.
Okay.
But she was like, I don't want you masturbating. And I was like, yo, how you can't beat your own dick? That's your dick. I don't give a fuck if you're married or not. That's your deal. If she's not going to take care of it, so you're supposed to just be on edge until she decides that she's going to take care of that? Nah. But they used to actually have arguments about that.
What happened in the shower? Well, she don't need to know. Why you taking so long? I'm just enjoying the water.
I'll lay right next to you.
Exactly. And I mean, the thing is, she can masturbate. You know, I think it's a turn on to watch my husband masturbate. Oh my God, I get so excited.
A lot
Queen
of women Danny. Feel like that.
Yeah,
Queen. Let me ask you: was your husband? Did you have to coax him at all, or was there any type of counseling that you all underwent in order to turn the new leaf? And did Christianity or devout religiosity play any role in keeping you all from having this new exciting love life?
Let me address the Christianity thing because I think I lose people on this sometimes because I think that when you grow up in the church, a lot of times we are made for our desires to be closeted in a sense. And I think that's why you have a lot of people that are ashamed of certain aspects of sex because of the upbringing in the church. Now, in regards to my husband, yeah, it was like pulling teeth. But my thing with him, if you love me and trust me, let's do this together. We can take baby steps. If it's something you don't like, let's talk about it. But don't just close the door on it, because then I feel like you're closing the door on the marriage. I'm telling you what I need in order to be happy and in order to help you help us be more happy and have a more enjoyable experience. As long as he understood that this isn't something that's going to hurt him and it would help us, because it's not just about me, it's always about the team. And I think once we started...
I said, I think that gets lost in translation. Not to cut you off, but I want to add into that. I think that gets lost in translation with a lot of folks. Like, you know, they get so bent into what they want, they forget that there's another side of that coin. When you are we.
Exactly.
It's not just it's a give and take. Like my last wife, we had issues that I was like, yo, I'm asking you for some simple shit, and you telling me no, like, nigga, that ain't gonna work. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't asking you to put on no fucking gravity boots and swing off the fucking ceiling, or, you know, I'm not saying, hey, let's walk down the street, like, on some Erykah Badu type shit, and let's just get it in and then dip in the car real fast and rush. I'm not asking you for that shit. I'm asking you for some basic type shit, and you telling me no? Yeah, we that's the problem. And if you don't fix it, I'm putting you on notice. It's going to get fixed. Now,
yeah, and that is the problem. You have to think about the team. It's always about the team, and I think sometimes people lose sight of that. It is the team first. So if I want to do something to enhance the team, let's both be open-minded enough to try it, you know, because we both have to be happy. Now, if it's something that you want to introduce to me, I'm not going to shut the door on it. I have to be open-minded, because our relationship is going to continue to evolve. But if I'm closed-minded, we're going to, again, be right back in that stagnant place. So it always has to be about the team.
I'm open to most things, but you ain't putting nothing in my ass. I don't know where this whole thing with this pegging shipping came from. I had this girl trying to put her finger in my ass.
Wait a minute now. But wait a minute now. Are you going to stick something in her ass now? Because this is something I'm big on. This is something I'm big on. When you share, and this is a part of Tantra, when you talk about tantric sex, when you talk about tapping into the actual energy that you get from another individual, you can't get it if you cannot access it if there's, you have to go from the tip of your hair to your toenail. All of that is
possible.
If your lover wants to lick your toenails, you have to be open. If your lover wants to comb your hair, you have to be open. If they want to caress your booty cheeks apart, you have to be open, or else you're not sharing the full essence of yourself. You giving them tidbits, and you get to choose who and how much of each person. It's bullshit. If you're not prepared to give,
I completely agree with you.
if you're not prepared to give it all, then you don't give up none, because with one girl you like enough. One girl you like enough. You have anal sex with her, but other girl you ain't on her. If you're able to choose how much of yourself you can share, then you truly not sharing yourself. When you real, you give it all of it. Give it up, and at least be willing to let somebody do to you what you are more than willing to do to them.
Because I got to agree with the ladies, homeboy. Sorry.
I don't disagree. But I answered her question. She said, am I going to put my dick in her ass? She said it a nice way. I said it the raw way. No, if she don't want it. If she wants it, then I'll do it. But I'm not going to do to her what she doesn't want. That's like coming in her face. Like, if she don't want me to come in her face, I won't come in her face. If she don't want me to come in her mouth, I'm not going to come in her mouth.
So
I'm not
going to
do what you don't.
Have you tried, Like, I, obviously, you know what I mean, anal play ain't for all dudes. It ain't for most dudes because they feel homophobic about it. But this is my opinion. You know what I'm saying? It's like I say, I ain't here nor there. But as long as you have security in your manhood, then I don't understand what the problem would be. It's not you are not with another male. The whole when you were a female, no act that you doing when you were a female can be considered as homosexual. Period.
Right. I'm with you. But
that's just how I view it. I don't care what it is.
Check this out. Check this out though. She put that thing. She actually did. She stuck that thing in my ass, and that motherfucker was in there for about a good 0.3 seconds. I was like, "Hey, this shit feel good as shit." I was like, "No, don't be doing that."
Now they need to give y'all better anatomy lessons, because if you look at the anatomy of the male body, with the prostate right there, when you tap into that prostate energy, it ricochets throughout the anal play is specifically for men. How about that?
Anal play is more exciting for men.
It feel better to men than it do to us. How about that?
Because if you allow us to put our finger in, we're stimulating your G spot.
My schlong was like, dang. I was like, wow.
This shit is great.
But then I started thinking about it. I was like, oh, you better get that thing out of my ass. That ain't cool. And that was it.
I mean, it's for everybody. And if it ain't your thing, I ain't not there at all. Because it ain't necessarily my thing. I don't want you putting nothing in my ass either. But I can't necessarily look badly on a dude who experienced it and like it. Some of the things that I may feel sexually arousing to me, somebody else might look at me like, "Yo, you like that? Like, dude, what's up with you?" But you know, what I mean, like I said, different strokes for different folks.
Yes, ma'am.
The last time I got super excited was when a man read to me. Can you believe that?
I can believe it because it's intimate.
I'm sure can.
Yeah, it's intimate.
Y'all need to stop this shit. You such a fucking nerd. Really? A motherfucker ran to you and that turned you on?
Don't sleep on that boy.
Yeah, because it's a different kind of intimacy shared. So, yeah, I can believe that.
Okay.
And he read so well. His diction was perfect. He read with expression. He read to where I could understand, and he looked, and man, it was fantastic. It was over the phone.
Yeah, that's like intellectual intimacy.
Okay. Okay.
Because I'm assuming that you watch porn, but do you like read erotic literature?
No.
Or are you strictly visual?
No.
So you'll have women that are not as big. Men are visual creatures. Women are more mental. But see, I can go both ways. Like I can read it or watch it.
Right.
But if you're not into reading it, then having somebody read to you wouldn't appeal to you like that unless they was maybe acting out some stuff.
Right.
It's all in your preferences.
That's
true. I'm visual and auditory. I enjoy hearing stuff just like I enjoy seeing it. So, I'm still more of a history buff than anything when it comes to my reading. And, you know, every now and again I'll read some action adventure, and that's about the size of that. But the rest of that stuff, I don't put my mind into it. Now, as far as porn is concerned, yeah, I definitely watch that. But that's more internet things now, because you have access 24/7 no matter where you are. It's free.
Right. Yeah,
You can do that. You can read and do that too. It's a site on the web called Literatica. It pretty much has any type of story you want, from interracial, threesomes, shit, incest. It has everything. It's always something in there. But again, I'm trying to tell you.
You got options.
Oh, don't. Because
I happen to prefer intergalactic erotica. I think it's pretty good. The blend of sci-fi and porn.
That's
That's just like if you watch a porn and you watch a porn parody like the Game of Thrones parody. It's pretty good.
I've never watched the Game of Thrones, so I guess I'd probably miss out on that. But
man, you better get on that.
So,
hold on. I want to go back. We can get to her, but I want to go back a couple of paces. So you said incest is a huge thing now? What the hell? What?
It's not now.
Incest has always been.
Right.
It's always been.
Think back to the times when they wanted to have pure families and brothers was
right.
smashing sisters and so forth and so on. They wanted to keep the bloodline pure. That's where it started. Now, even in the United States right now, even though it's frowned upon and illegal, man, it's probably like Kentucky or not to be generalizing the area, but Kentucky, West Virginia, shit like that. I've heard firsthand that in West Virginia that they do that. First cousin is, yeah, I'm in there.
Let me tell you something. More blue bloods intermarry with their cousins than the poor. It's not a poverty thing. The rich do it more because the money has to stay within the confines of the family genealogy. And they don't have any problem marrying cousins. In fact, they say cousins are for one another. Incest has always been big since the very beginning of time, believe it or not. But I wanted to ask Queen Jackie, what is the oddest turn-on she's ever had? Something that you had no idea was going to turn you on, either from your husband or previous lover. Something that you just said, oh, my goodness, that was pretty hot.
For whatever reason, call it the exhibitionist side of me, my biggest turn-on is screwing in a park. The thrill of people watching, you know, that's such an amazing turn on. I think I've probably had my hardest orgasm doing it in the park. Now, with regards to my marriage, we're 12 years apart, and he's not as the park thing is kind of, he's over that. You know, it's kind of like twisting his arm. Come on, let's just try it for one last time. But that's a big, that's like my biggest turn on. I've done Druid Hill Park, Centennial Park, Hanlon Park. Where else? I've been on the beach, Gunpowder. I just love that outside and the thrill of maybe getting caught or, oh, my God, I'm getting excited just thinking about it.
I found some drawers out there one time.
Baby, you better take off.
What are you doing?
Hey, cuz, do you know what the Bristol Hotel is?
Huh?
The Bristol Hotel. Matt ain't never tell you about the Bristol?
No.
The Bristol Hotel is the elevator down Harbor Place, right? If you take it, you let it get between floors and open the doors up, then it won't move until you shut the doors back. Yeah. The homeboy told me about that one way back in the day, because, like, over 20 years ago. Yeah, that's real. That's real.
No, that's crazy.
And
so,
he calls
look,
it the Bristol.
So
I mean, I'm
an
LL had the song now,
elevator.
Bristol Hotel. And
yeah.
So, Brother Ernie, telling us that you have an elevator fetish.
Oh, I've done that. The park, the beach, cars.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Brother Lee? Where did you get caught in an exciting moment and had no idea that was going to do it for you?
Shit, on her couch by her daughter. This is like 2 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Everybody popped by a family member.
She had two teenage. She had two teenage daughters. One was still in high school. The other was in college. So, you know, we talking. She was like, yo, I want it. I was like, she's like, no, the kids upstairs. It's like, okay, well, let's leave. She's like, no, fuck that. Let's do it now. Like, yo, I don't want to get, you don't get caught. They sleep. I was like, okay, cool. We get out of just bop, 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 bop. And the big girl came downstairs. She's like, oh, my God, mom. I'm like, oh, shit.
I can't imagine getting caught by a teenager.
I know.
Oh, my God. No, she was like 19. She was like 19. Damn, 20. Yeah, 18, 19. She was
Basically,
it was crazy. Now tell me that didn't hold up, cuz tell me that didn't, even for a split second, that didn't ignite the mother daughter fantasy in your head.
No.
1 second.
Not at all.
Not one second.
Not at all. No. No. I don't have that kind of fantasy, to be honest with you.
Shit.
At least I don't think I do, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty regular.
And what you say, Queen Jackie, that's something we're fighting, Queen Jackie. That when one man's, where one person's mind is able to go as far as where they can extract pleasure from, one person has already put a wall on that, or they put it behind some kind of curtain. So it's essentially trying to pull that curtain back or knock that wall down with a person in order to get you all both on the same pleasure plane, you know?
Right. But everybody's taste is different. I can see that being exciting for, you know, some men. As Ernest mentioned, the mother-daughter fantasy, especially since, you know, the daughter is of age. But if you're seeing the mom in a certain light, that daughter, wouldn't you still look at that daughter like, I'm old enough to be this child's father?
Right.
Well, I do, because I have a 26-year-old daughter. So once I had a daughter at a young age, it was like, all y'all young girls is pretty much y'all out of my league.
Off limits.
They're out,
right,
of, exactly,
right.
Exactly.
Having a daughter will change that aspect. Like, you best be 22, 23, and beyond. Like I say, my daughter 26. So at a particular time, it was like, if you younger than my daughter, you can't even step to me.
And that's
like,
how I feel.
Okay, so
my son is 30. Yeah, my son is 30, so I wouldn't date somebody around that age, because I'm like, okay, my son, you and my son are the same age. So, yeah, I wouldn't shop in that market.
I want to hit you with this. Now, you know, you all don't know, but my cousin knows this. So, Toya is 36. Toya is my oldest goddaughter. Her name is Latoya. She's my oldest goddaughter. She's 36. So, like, I'm 40. I'll be 44. Yeah. I'll be 44 next week. And, yeah, exactly. I'll be 44 next week. You don't talk to me, you 38, you 40. I'm like, I can't. You could be the best friend of my goddaughter. Is you crazy?
Right.
My mind clicks to, you know, I meet you, we going out, we having a good thing. And then, you know, I'm like, yo, I gotta introduce you to my baby. My baby come over. And she's like, hey, girl, what you doing here? And I'm like, oh, shit.
I'm sick.
I feel you on that.
That shit ain't cool. Hell no.
Exactly.
Hell no.
Exactly.
All right, cuz, so people get along them lines, though. Remember we used to play the Motel 6 on Nursery Road real heavy. Everybody did.
Yep.
I was having a conversation with my son, and this was a couple of years ago when me and my wife were getting back into each other. So we was going to the hotel regularly, just us, just to have some alone time. Me and my son was talking one day, and he was like, yeah, Dad, Pops, I'll be going to the Motel 6 on Nursery Road, blah, blah, blah. You know, immediately that Motel 6 was in my head, will never get used again.
Never get used again.
Right. It ain't no way it's going to be checkout time.
Because you knocked in the headboard
We passing each other, dropping
the
keys off, or whatever.
Right.
Boogity, boogity, boo, boo, boo.
Exactly. That's cool.
I had a business like that,
I was with somebody and that uncle was in the next room. That shit is crazy. You can't do that.
Exactly.
Or afterwards, you laying there, you like, God damn, that motherfucker's really getting it in. And then the next day, you like, oh, hell.
Exactly.
You walk
outside, exactly.
You see him like,
all
oh,
that
hell.
Shit went through my head.
That
all
going
that
down.
Went through my head. Like, soon as he's like,
you know,
I play Motel 6 regularly. Like, what? Oh, hell no. That shit is off limits.
I hope.
Yeah, can't go remind you where you can't
mother,
go anymore.
So, but, I mean, you
I know we
do
don't
that.
Have a lot of, we don't have a lot of time, and I just want to say thank you all both for both Ernest and Miss Queen Jackie for being so vulnerable and out here and open with us today. Let me tell you, it's my first time speaking to either of you, but I'm so glad to know that there are people out there who are in love with their spouses, who black love exists, you know, and y'all mean
that shit.
Y'all are reinvesting into your spouse, not being happy and settling with whatever you had 5 years ago or 10 years or even 3 months ago.
You always got to change it up.
It makes me feel like the possibility of finding someone that will look in me and see that whole thing worth nurturing, cultivating, that fire that's worth stoking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you both. Thank you both for sharing. And Lee,
it was my pleasure.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Like, this has been the best thing I've done in a while. This is great.
I learned something about
you
today, honey. Lee, you nasty.
Y'all did not?
Well, check this out. Yeah, for real, right? Well, check this out. We're going to need to do this again because in our haste, I don't think I recorded a damn thing on here. So I'm going to need to do this again, and we'll get it together. Yeah, for real, right? It's, hey, man, look, it happens. But,
I'm ready when you're ready, cuz. But you're not slick either,
okay.
Cuz. I think you wanted me to come on because you know I don't care nothing about none of that. And
oh,
you
yeah,
want to
absolutely.
Take some of the pressure
absolutely.
Off you having another dude on
absolutely.
The time. Absolutely. Yeah, but it's all good because I'm with all that.
And he used you, Ernest.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he used
absolutely.
Me. I knew what it was when he asked me to come on the show.
Absolutely.
But see, he
like,
know,
yeah,
I don't,
let me,
I don't care. Just by the stuff I put on Facebook. And my mother's my friend on Facebook, along with, like, older aunts. I don't care about none of that. I say what I want to say. If you don't like it, then unfriend me or what?
Unfriend.
Exactly.
Right, right.
Exactly.
But look,
but
I want to echo.
Having me on with y'all. I really, like, really, really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. I want to echo what Rashi just said, to be honest with you. Thank you both for coming and spending your time. I apologize. I don't think I recorded it properly, but that just gives us an excuse to do it all over again. And to
I was
going to
say, set it up again.
It.
Well, I got some more for you.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I can feel it. For you for real, and you know it.
Do and say the things that we didn't do and say today and, you know, the things that we didn't remember so and so forth. But in light of that, I want to wish you all a peace. And have a wonderful remaining of your day. It's almost 6 o'clock here, so I really do need to get out and start my day. Because I literally just got back. I came right off the road, rushed in here to sit down to set this up to go into it and get it started. So I need to eat because I'm starving. And
you always need to eat, fat boy.
Hey, boy, whatever. I need to get myself together. Hey, y'all be easy. Y'all have a good day. Thank you. And
all right. Thank you so much.
Soon.
And all right. Enjoy life.
So y'all have a great one and be safe.
All right.
All
now.
Right.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
All right.